Do the right thing. These words echo what it means to work in the healthcare industry. Virginia Pribanek, president and CEO of MedRespond, wants us to follow this mantra when it comes to patient satisfaction, adoption of new technologies, and embracing innovation within healthcare. Welcome to the HIMSS Innovation That Sticks podcast, a series of conversations with innovators who provide insight to unique and transformative solutions and ideas in healthcare through their expertise and experiences. Today, we are talking with Virginia Pribanek, president and CEO of Pittsburgh-based MedRespond, an online healthcare communication service. MedRespond was the winner of the 2017 Medical Capital Innovation Competition at the HIMSS Innovation Center in Cleveland, Ohio. In this episode, Virginia discusses the importance of patient satisfaction, a key component of the HIMSS STEPS value framework, how a fear of innovation such as artificial intelligence is preventing the healthcare industry from moving forward, and how the need of a financial realignment will lead to a cultural revolution in the way we consume healthcare. Virginia also reminds us the power of two simple words, so what, and its clarifying power toward driving success. All that and more in this episode of Innovation That Sticks.
The HIMSS Health IT Value Suite has hundreds of resources to help you plan and execute strategies to increase the value of your health IT investment. Explore examples of hospitals, physician practices, communities, and ACOs that have realized their full health IT potential. Get unique resources, including detailed case studies that reveal strategies, tactics, and measures used to document value. Explore it now at hims.org/Value Suite.
Ginny Pribanek is president and CEO of Pittsburgh-based MedRespond, an online healthcare communication service. MedRespond was the winner of the 2017 Medical Capital Innovation Competition. Ginny, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure. It's been about a year since MedRespond was announced as the winner of the Medical Capital Innovation Competition that took place at the HIMSS Innovation Center in Cleveland. Can you talk about how the past year has been? What impact have you seen post that win?
The Medical Capital Innovation Competition was extremely helpful for us. One of the things that happens at the Capital Innovation Conference is they have very seasoned, very high-level executives from the healthcare community in Cleveland and the surrounding areas. And throughout the day prior to the pitch, you have one-on-one training sessions with a whole host of experts. And during that day, we got such great feedback from people about what we were focusing upon in our presentation and how we needed to explain better what it means. Because we were making a big assumption that people would see what we do and they would go, aha, I get it. And in particular, we were increasing patient satisfaction scores. But what I was failing to say in the pitch was, do you realize that patient satisfaction scores are related to reimbursement rates? And that reimbursement rate can move the needle by up to 2%, and that the average gross margin of a hospital is 1%. So we can actually take a hospital system from red to black just by increasing their patient satisfaction scores. And that's what we needed to explain and really make it that we weren't talking about simply educating patients. We were talking about improving the financial health of a healthcare system. And I took that to heart, and the night of the competition, I completely rewrote the deck. I stayed up almost all night, which wasn't fun, but was apparently the right thing to do, because the next morning we had to turn in our final deck. And I recall incorporating from one of the coaches specifically who told me, so what? And when I did the first slide of the day, I put at the end of the first slide where we were talking about increasing satisfaction, so what? And as I got to that slide, I could see him smiling at me, realizing you really did pay attention to what we said. I've used that change in the messaging throughout the year, and it's played better in, especially when we're talking to top level executives at hospital systems. They understand that when we understand that the so what is really relevant to the bottom line. Another part of the capital innovation competition is you were provided access to the hospital systems in Cleveland. So we've been working with several of the hospital systems, and we're working closely with Cleveland Clinic Innovation. We've had brainstorming sessions with them, talking about pricing models and revenue models, and it's just been an incredible experience. And access to those resources and opportunities really came through the competition.
So it sounds like one piece of advice is be willing to stay awake all night if that's what it takes. What is some other advice that you would give to organizations that might be considering participating?
One thing that I've learned, there are people who participate in competitions every week throughout the year, and I'm not one of those. This is only the third competition I've been involved with. And my advice to people is make sure the competition that you're looking at and focusing upon is aligned with what your goals are at this point in time for your company. And pay close attention to what the criteria for success are. Because if you do a great presentation, but you're not addressing what the goals of the judges are, you're not going to win that. And pay attention to what the mentoring opportunities, the networking opportunities. There's a lot of ways to win beyond the prize.
I'm hoping we could talk a little bit about MedRespond and then kind of broaden the conversation out to the industry. When you were having those light bulb moments around the need for MedRespond, what were you seeing in the marketplace? What were the signals that you were responding to that led to the formation of your company?
Actually, our company existed in a prior life targeting the pharmaceutical industry. And we found as the focus really shifted towards patient engagement and the bundled payments and focus on patient satisfaction, and all of those forces within the industry pointed more to patient engagement, MedRespond pivoted, and we began working on technologies that prepared patients for open-heart surgery. And we have a program that is offered to every patient who's undergoing open-heart surgery. And the surgeon gives it to the patient then a couple weeks before their surgery, and it walks them through everything they need to know to get ready. There's an online coach who's a video coach, but walks through asking questions, answering questions, do you smoke? And if you say yes, the next thing the coach says, well, then I know you know what I'm going to tell you next. It's time to stop, even if you can just reduce. So that proved a great deal of success, and patients use it. The average patient preparing for open-heart surgery uses our system for an hour and a half. And that is approaching Facebook levels of engagement. So maybe that's our goal.
It's a good benchmark to work from. Within the system, the use of artificial intelligence is part of the product that you work with. And we're in such a unique moment in the healthcare industry and its understanding of artificial intelligence, its application of it. What's your perspective on the range of emotions that AI engenders in people? You know, we've got people that think it's the next big thing. We have others that think it's the downfall of all
humanity.
Of civilization. How do you respond to those emotional reactions to a technology?
I'm often surprised the way human beings' first reaction to something new tends to be fear. And I tend to be far more optimistic, and that the technologies and the solutions will be put to good use. And fortunately, the way the capitalistic system works, it'll always be aligned with the money. And we're hoping that the money is aligned with doing the right things. And artificial intelligence will go to uses that are positive in that way.
So looking at the industry as a whole, moving out and looking more broadly, what kind of innovation does the healthcare sector need at this point? Are we at the point where we need a disruptive innovation? Do we need more incremental innovation? What's going to help us transform the way that people receive healthcare products and services?
Well, I think one thing that would help significantly is if the entire healthcare industry would speed up its ability to adopt innovation a lot. There are so many things within healthcare that operate in opposition to innovation adoption, and there are so many opportunities. I don't believe that it's going to be the earth-shaking change that improves healthcare. I believe the opportunities we have now are to integrate technologies that are out there and move the dial ever so slightly with each improvement so that we are seeing the incremental improvement in healthcare. But if we can speed the system up in adoption, we could see a million of them every year.
You mentioned sort of an industry-wide hesitation with responding to innovation. What are the signs of that? How could you describe to somebody outside of the healthcare industry those points of hesitation? And how would you suggest trying to overcome those?
Well, I think that anyone who's operating in the healthcare environment right now can see and has seen for many, many, many years that a major problem in implementing innovations is that the financial rewards are not aligned with improving patient care. And those financial rewards need to be a better aligned so that the entire system is moving in support of the right thing for patients.
Well, I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit more about you personally. Can you describe your origin story? How did you get into healthcare IT?
Believe it or not, I came from the steel industry. Well, I came from Pittsburgh. And early on, everything in Pittsburgh was steel. Now, not so much. The remnant we have in Pittsburgh now of the steel industry is everything is the Steelers. So what I felt was really important is within the steel industry and within manufacturing particularly, there's a strong and low-lying glass ceiling. And I wanted to get beyond that and look for a place where there wasn't the glass ceiling and women were successfully moving beyond it. So I went back. I felt an important thing to do was really have top-grade credentials to support what I really wanted to do in my career. So I went to Carnegie Mellon. I got my MBA there, which is an incredible, incredible school. And my best and dearest friends remain part of the people I met there only because we suffered so much together. I loved Carnegie Mellon. I focused on entrepreneuring, and what I targeted to do was to partner with people who had technologies and bring them into an industry where they could really make a difference and succeed. And so that's really what I did, and I met people who were simulating conversations with people. And believe it or not, now that we're in Las Vegas today at HIMSS, one of the very first things we did is we created a video-based avatar that would tell you all about Las Vegas, and her name was Laura Las Vegas. And every time you asked a question, she was in a new showgirl outfit, and she would spin around and answer the next one in a showgirl outfit. And people, I think it was that early lesson in letting people talk to the showgirl, we realized just how real people felt that experience was. Because we actually had people who left their phone number for Laura to call them when she got off work.
Wow. In the time that you've been in the industry, do you see progress being made? Are there challenges that still remain? For a woman thinking about entering the field, where has the industry shifted in the time that you've been, and where hasn't it?
The number of women graduating from medical school and actually becoming physicians, they're the majority of the graduating classes and have been for over a decade. But they're not becoming the CEOs of the hospital systems. They're not becoming the CEO of the insurance companies. And even more so is in entrepreneuring. They're not becoming the decision makers in VCs. Only 2% of the money from VCs last year went to women-led companies. 80% went to men-led companies. The gap went to mixtures and or unaccounted for. But those are the things that have to change, and women have to be making decisions about where the direction and the strategy and the visions of companies and where the money goes.
Well, we've got time for one last question. It's a question we ask all of our guests on Innovation That Sticks. I'm wondering if you can describe an aha moment of innovation at your organization.
Early on, I had a sense that our technology that would put videos of doctors answering questions for people would be a valuable asset and would help people get information that they can trust in a way that is digestible. And we created a program about how the heart worked and heart problems in children. And I went over to Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh, and I was doing some research, and I was sitting in the lobbies in the waiting room. And I went up to a woman who was waiting there for an appointment with her daughter. And I showed her the system and explained that she could ask any questions she want. And we went through her questions. And before the end of the interview, she started to cry. And I said, what's up? She said, no doctor has ever spent that much time with me. And here you have one of the top doctors in the country who just answered my questions for almost a half an hour. And I knew we were onto something. If we could give people, it filled that gap and help them get the real information they need to have better health care, that we were doing the right thing.
Ginny Probanek is president and CEO of Pittsburgh-based MedRespond, an online healthcare communication services company. Ginny, thank you so much for joining us today on Innovation That Sticks.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate it.
This is Bronwyn Huron, Manager, Interoperability Initiatives at HIMSS North America. You're listening to Innovation That Sticks.
Thank you for joining us today. Please send us your thoughts as a voice memo or email, and we will play them on the air at the end of our next episode. You can send your comments to value@hims.org. We'd like to thank our guest, Virginia Probanek. For more information on all discussed by today's guest, please visit this episode's landing page, HIMSS Innovation That Sticks, at hims.org underneath our podcast section. HIMSS Innovation That Sticks podcast is a HIMSS North America copyrighted production. Rod Piowski is executive producer, Adam Baser is line producer, and Kelly Lippitt is story editor and guest relations manager. I'm Ian Hofberg, and we will see you next time on Innovation That Sticks.